Hello and welcome to See the World with Ajala Nene, a podcast that takes you on a journey across Nigeria and Africa to explore the country and the continent's diverse and vibrant culture. Our esteemed guests will share their experiences and insights into the local tourism scene, from hidden gems to must-see attractions. So grab a cup of coffee and join us as we see the world with Ajala Nene. Whether you're planning a trip to Nigeria or Africa, or simply want to explore and experience the continent from the comfort of your own home, this podcast is for you. So sit back, relax, and let's explore Nigeria and Africa together. Sanu, guess what time it is? It is the Wonderlust Wonder segment. And as always, you know, this is where we spotlight tourist sites in Africa and beyond. And in our spotlight today, we have Takwer Bay Beach. Takwer Bay is an artificial sheltered beach located near the Lagos Harbor in Nigeria. As an island, it is only accessible by boat or water taxi. Yep, you heard me right. The beach is quiet and calm, making it popular for swimming and water sports like jet skiing and water skiing. So, if you're looking for the best beaches in Lagos, Nigeria, Takwer Bay is your ideal spot. Oh yeah, let's join our guests for today. Welcome everyone, welcome to See the World at Ajala Nene, and today I have one of my guests. I call him one of my daddies in the tourism space. Mr. Omololu, welcome sir. Ekaabo, as we always say.
Ekuleo.
Hey, nice. He came all the way from Ibadan, so please let's greet him well. Woo! Welcome sir, welcome. Mr. Omololu Olumuiwa is the managing editor of Travel Scope magazine, a monthly publication on global aviation, tourism and hospitality industry. He's also the initiator and convener of the annual Youth Tourism and Hospitality Leaders Forum, founded in 2008, an educational platform for youths with a passion to excel in their chosen careers related to tourism, aviation and hospitality. Yeah. Welcome very much, sir. Welcome.
Thank you, Nene.
All right, sir. So why the tourism space? I know you're a journalist. But why tourism? Why did you decide to go through that?
I think that is a very good question. You know, like every other profession, there is always an area of specialization. Mm-hmm. So when it was time for me to choose the particular area I'm going to specialize on, something just occurred. I'm a football lover anyway.
Oh.
Initially, I thought maybe I should go into sports journalism. But I had one experience. I think that should be in 2002 precisely.
Okay.
I went for a conference in Germany.
Okay.
Meanwhile, I didn't make up my mind that I will be attending the conference on time.
Okay.
The organizer keeps sending me mail, calling, Somalulu, are you coming? But I was looking at my schedule then, so tight. So I didn't confirm that I will be attending. Last minute, like about 3 days to the conference, then I made up my mind that, I will be attending the conference in Germany.
Okay.
Lo and behold, I just got the response. Sorry, Mr. Mululu. Since you didn't confirm on time, there's no way we can get you an accommodation. Initially, I thought maybe they are trying.
You already had a visa.
Oh, sure, I had a visa. So I was thinking maybe they were trying to play me up because I gave the response a bit late. They said, Mr. Mululu, sorry, we won't be able to get you an accommodation, but if you are coming, there's no problem. You sort yourself out as far as accommodation is concerned, then we reimburse you. I said, that one is just a minor thing. I'm telling you about the journey, what actually prepared me into going into tourism journalism. I flew. The conference was supposed to be I think the conference was held in a city known as Düsseldorf.
Okay.
So I flew to Frankfurt. From Frankfurt to Düsseldorf should be like about 2 hours. On getting to the city, I told one of the cab driver, gentlemen, can you just take me to any hotel in the city? The cab man looked at me. He said, you mean you've not booked? No, I said, no, I'm just coming from Lagos. I thought he was joking anyway. The guy said, I think it will be a bit difficult to get an accommodation in Düsseldorf. I said, this big city, let's go. For like about 2.5 hours,
it's a lie.
We are driving around the city of Düsseldorf, moving from one hotel to another. Oh, sorry, gentlemen, we are fully booked. Sorry, gentlemen, we are fully booked. I said, when it's the reality now dawned on me, I said, okay, is there any place where I can just go to freshen
up?
To freshen up? He said, yes, that one is possible. They took me to a place I freshen up from there, and I went directly to the conference building. When my host saw me, they welcomed me. Oh, Mr. Malola, how are you? Yeah, you put it up. I said, could you believe that I've been in town for over 3 hours? I couldn't get any single accommodation. That's only the situation in this area. I laughed. Okay. At the end of the day, after the conference, on day one.
How long did it last?
The conference has to be 3 days anyway.
Okay.
So at the end of the day, the conference was over like around maybe 7 p.m. with cocktail, welcome party for the participants and the delegates. And I said, oh, hey, I'm going to do. What is the next step? Where are you going to pass the night? I went back to, I get a cab again. Can you take me to probably one or two hotels? Maybe one passenger must have checked out again. For another 1.5 hours, you couldn't believe it. We are moving from one place to another. No accommodation. I said, okay, you know what? I think the only option, and one of the cab drivers to be, I think the best option now is to go out of the city to probably a neighboring town. I said, okay, I think that's a better option.
How
I said, okay, what is the way out? Say, let me drop you at the train station. From train station, go to so city. That should be like about 45 hours ride. 45 minutes rather. Yeah, from Düsseldorf. I said, no problem. On getting to the train station, I booked the ticket to that particular city. Remember, I don't know anybody there, and I don't have particular time, but I was assured that the excited is that I will get an accommodation. I said, just to put off my head. So it was while I was in the at the train station waiting to board, two Nigerians were just passing by. They told they were about to catch up with the train. So they now saw me, they were coming from the workplace. It was getting to around 9 p.m. Or thereabout. You know, Nigerians, we might not be friendly at home, but anytime we met outside the country, we are like one big family. You know what? I was still with my usual 12-15 kg. You know, I used to travel like, so my luggage was beside me, so they can see the tag that, this is a Nigerian. So those two guys just walked straight to me. I said, oh, good evening, sir. I said, yeah, good evening, my brother. You know, they said, they know. Oh, that's like you're from Nigeria. I said, yes. Ah, they can see my bag. I just come into town. I said, yes, I came for a conference. They said, where are you going, sir? I said, you know what? I'm going to one particular city. They said I should go there because there's none. They said, yeah, that's always the situation in Düsseldorf. I said, really? They said, yes. That Düsseldorf is one of the most prominent cities in Europe.
Really?
That what they were actually tapping from is mice.
Meeting
incentives, conferences, and exhibition.
That is their selling point.
I said, nice. Wow. And I asked the guy that said, okay, so you are going to that city now to go and look for another. I said, yes. They saw my ticket. I said, oh, sorry. We are just going like about 15 minutes ride by train. If you don't mind, sir, please, let's be your host. The unknown people, that was how I followed them. For my 4 nights in Düsseldorf, they were my hosts, taking good care of me.
Nigerians, they are very good people.
Yeah, no, that's here, from
not
experience.
Not but outside.
Even outside, Nigerians are always so uninteresting people when you are outside, out of the country. So it was during the period of the conference, then something now came over me. I said, this is what we are talking about, tourism. And I said, this one has nothing to do with oil. Imagine what this city is generating as IGR. Flashback to Nigeria. I said, do we even understood what tourism is all about? Do we really understood what tourism could be an alternative to the oil that we actually depend on? Then that was what changed the narrative. Instead of going into sports journalism, I said, no. I think I'd rather go into tourism journalism. So on returning to Nigeria, that was what actually gave birth to Travelscope magazine.
Woo! So what does Travel Scope magazine focus on? Let people know.
Oh, good question. As you can see, the name.
Scope magazine.
Travel means anything that has to do with journey. Why the scope is telling you about the area of specialization. Mm. And when you are talking about Travel Scope, this is a publication that enlightens, that educates, that promotes anything that has to do with aviation, mm-hmm. tourism, mm-hmm. hospitality, mm-hmm. and culture.
I wish I've told you to make a magazine. We have some of those who are working.
No, I'm going to get a copy, no problem.
All right, so no problem. So let's go to your event. That is the Youth Tourism and Hospitality Leaders Forum.
Yeah.
Founded in 2008.
Yeah.
What inspired you to start that, sir? Why? Why youth tourism?
Good question. You know, I narrated my experience, what propelled me into going into tourism journalism.
Yes.
Later, after being in the industry for a while, and I said, okay, there's one Yoruba proverb that said, Kekere lati pe, I will still try to translate anyway.
Please start too.
He said, Kekere lati pe kan roko, toba dagba to, akba oni shekin, akba oni ka. And at the same time, there's another one, I'm still going to interpret, they are almost the same thing. That, Kekere ni maleti man komo e laso. Now, the literary meaning of this proverb is that, for you to get something impacted into what you are expected to be productive in the future, mm-hmm. you have to inculcate that into the children.
Mm. All right, sir. If we continue with this discussion, we will not leave here because it's deeper than everything. But my hope is that as people listen to this, my prayer is that the next 10 years, this is not what we're talking about anymore. Instead, we're just talking about how everything has been stabilized and just know how to innovate and do better in our industry because. The tourism industry alone, like I'm actually worried for our present minister because she has so much on her plate. Yeah. She has arts, yeah. She has culture, creative art,
and tourism.
Each industry is an industry, each of them are industries of their own. Heavyweight industries of their own.
Indeed.
I hope that it will go well for her and I wish her all the success. And those of us who are ready to support, will support her. Because if we don't have this industry, then we are useless.
Then what are we doing? If there's nothing like tourism, what are we saying that we are tourism practitioners?
Who am I having this podcast? All right, so just to wrap this up, I know you are currently you're the president of Association of Travel and Tourism Writers of Nigeria, popularly known as ATWON. Yeah. I know before you were the vice president, right? Please correct me.
Yes.
What's ATWON about and why would you encourage people to join the association?
Okay. Association of Travel and Tourism Writers of Nigeria. It's just a group of professional journalists who specialize on tourism, hospitality, and aviation.
Okay.
So they work in various media houses that cut across the prints, the electronics, and the online.
Okay.
So we gather together and as someone that have been writing on tourism, we believe we should have a voice. Also. So anytime there is an issue that has to do with tourism industry, we come out with our own release, probably to enlighten. Like presently, we don't rush things. We take things easy.
What do you mean, sir?
Okay, like now, you know the minister was removed. Mm-hmm. Now, presently, we are working on something on why the minister was not supposed to be removed.
Mm-hmm.
We know the advocates they done already, mm-hmm. but at the same time we are still going to come out.
Know why. So for the next time when by God could have another minister, so we can use that as reference.
We trained softly and we not want to go into the deep the way we went this time around.
Yeah. Okay, how can people join ATWON?
Oh no, so far you are a writer. And verified
professional writer,
yeah,
not writer. Oh, you have not elevated,
of course. Let me just put it this way: if you are a blogger, a professional blogger that specializes on travel and tourism and well known, verified, there is nothing stopping such person
from joining. Okay, sir. So let's go into something a little more fun. Give us at least one or two destinations that people should explore here in Nigeria. Like if someone is coming from the abroad, as you call it, where would you say, if you don't visit this place, you cannot come to Nigeria? Give us at least one or two.
Good. I like this Ikogosi a lot.
I've heard that they finally renovated it because for a while, sir, it was not a good place to
and
go.
And thank God that Ikiti is doing well when you're talking about tourism now. You know, that is why we say there is need for us to pull the round peg in
the round hole.
The current Director General of Ikiti State Tourism Bureau happens to be a stakeholder. It was my boss when I was on freelancing on Nigerian Tribune Tourism Day. That is the person of Ambassador Wale Ojulari. He was former ANJET president, tourism writer. He was once their president. So this is a man that has traveled far and near. He understood the business of tourism. Luckily, the incumbent governor of Ekiti appointed him as the director general of Ekiti State Tourism. So how do you expect such person not to perform? You need to go to Ikogosi now and see what is happening. I could collect your people, your party, the IBM and go. Yeah. I guess they were in Ikogosi maybe like about two, 3 days ago.
It was them that let me know that Ikogosi is okay. Because the last time I heard about Ikogosi, the pictures my friend showed me was not the Ikogosi I was expecting. But what I've seen now, I'm even planning to carry my girlfriend's
away. And now back to your question that why did I have to say Ikogosi? Don't you know that it is unique? The place where you see the warm water coming from the right
and
a very cold one from the left. Is that not magical?
Yes.
That's number one. Then I have to make reference to my hometown. That is Odomo. So if you are here, you've not been to Odomo already.
Let us know where that is so that people will know where to go to.
Is it?
The place does mention now.
Yes, okay. Ikogosi in Ekiti State and Olumorok in Abeokuta, Ogun State.
Yes, so that those of you, I've gone to Olumorok by the way, and it's, how do I put it? If you love to hike, it's one. Yeah. If you want to see the beauty of the
industry, and that really understood what I'm doing, they have been the pillar in one way or the other. Directly or indirectly, but we are talking about this particular corporate organization. So, nothing and from the government angle.
If you mind me asking, sir, I know we have all been very consistent with what we're doing in the industry. That's why someone like you and I are still in this thing. It's not we're not making that money that we're looking for, but we're still doing it because we have a passion.
Do you think that
based on what we've been doing so far, with people like NHG that are doing policies, people like though sadly we don't have the Minister of Tourism anymore.
No, that is a sad situation, and very painful because of the factors we have in Nigeria, that was what gave out the Ministry of Tourism.
Yeah.
If you notice, I must be sincere.
I agree with you, sir.
We have been agitating for the stand-alone ministry for years.
Yeah.
At the end of the day,
they've removed it.
They gave
us the ministry. It back.
And when the Ministry of Tourism now was created, instead for us to rally around the minister to enlighten her, and tell her what to do to showcase, to place tourism on the global map in Nigeria, we started attacking. So sad.
It's sad because it's like we were taking two steps forward. Now we're taking
seven steps backward.
I'll be nice, I'll say three, four. Seven. Do you see in the future, and I'm asking this for record purpose, that all the work that we're doing in our own individual way and also trying to once in a while collaborate, can you see a future for the industry in Nigeria?
If there's no future in tourism, probably I will have backup. That's the truth. And I must be sincere. If you are following the trend presently, this is an era some youths now I've chosen tourism and hospitality.
Yes, as a course, like before. Yes, that's true. That's true. Or going abroad self to study and come back to Nigeria to implement.
I'm happy that I met David here.
Yeah, it's all okay. Like I said, he mentioned you in his podcast.
Do you remember David? During his first degree, studied computer science.
We crowdfunded for him. We all tried to raise money for him to go abroad. I remember very well.
David actually studied computer science.
Yeah, I'm going to some university.
Yes, we are coming to university right now. But I'm one of his mentors anyway.
Yeah, I noticed
that he really has passion for tourism. And look at him now.
Yeah.
He's postgraduate. He's on what? He's on tourism. That is
from computer science.
So that is exactly what is giving me joy.
Yeah.
Now, I discovered that a lot of people now have started pursuing tourism and hospitality as a career.
Fikayola Ibuka.
He's in Canada.
She's in Canada.
She just completed
her master's
in tourism recently.
Yeah.
You know, Fikayola Ibuka.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
So it's true. I agree.
So that is one of the things that keeps on driving me.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much for that. And I must commend you because very few people are looking at the youths. Like during the validation policy we had with NUST and the ministry, one of the things I said when we were having our roundtable
talk,
I said something, I told them because I was the youngest person in that group.
Okay.
I was like, look around in this room, are you seeing any young person? The only reason why someone like me is here is because somebody literally dragged me.
Yeah.
So I said, oh,
yeah, you just have to.
Yeah, because the few times I've been in rooms where we have leaders like you, they've not been a good experience.
Mm.
It's either they are fighting about leadership or someone is beefing this person. Mm. And we young people are watching. Like, is this what all this is all about? That's why a lot of us don't really like coming close to the older ones. We're like,
let's just be on our own,
and it's wrong because
it's wrong.
when you all finally go to be with the Lord, because we all one day will, it is the younger ones
that we take over from where you go.
And if we don't have the training, we'll mess up.
Definitely,
we will mess up. Because even me, that is in the industry for 7 years
now,
I still know that every day I'm learning something new.
New.
You know, like somebody talked about the NTDA Act, that's Nigerian
Tourism Development Authority.
I've not heard anything before. For the first time, I said, oh, please, I'm
out. Yes, yeah.
Let me go and read it, you know. And if I, who's been there for that long, don't know, then the young ones are coming, how would they know about it? If you're not careful, the industry will just be an instant.
So
I want to say thank you for that. And please keep pushing it. We need to get more younger people involved in the tourism space because I call tourism our oil. That we never run dry.
And that's bring me back to the former director general of NTDC then, is a person of Chief Olusegun Olusegun.
Mm-hmm.
He used to have one slogan there.
What's that?
That should be like about 17 years ago.
Oh,
Olusegun Olusegun, the former director general of NTDC, that's Nigerian Tourism Development Corporation then, but now Nigerian Tourism Development Authority, with the slogan. Oil, sustainable tourism. I'm trying to recollect the way you used to put it. Okay, I will still get back to that because I want to get the exact quote. The point is that she used to say that there will be a time this oil will depend on will not be available.
It will dry up.
White tourism will keep on spotlight, and I'm going to cite one particular country.
Okay.
France.
Okay.
There's nothing like oil. I checked through the record in the last 18 years.
Mm-hmm.
France has always been the leading country in the whole world in terms of tourist arrival. France, that small country. That's the truth. That small country. What are they feeding on? What is giving them the highest idea? That is tourism. And I look at France. I've been to France maybe like about 3 or 4 times. I remember the very first time I went there. Oh, Ifetoa. I think I was in Holland then. I said, let me go to Ifetoa. When I got to Ifetoa, I said, we have better things in Nigeria than this. This is the reason why I came out away from Germany.
That is the very so. How would I be branding to you?
And as we are talking now, if you get to this location, you will just be imagined. Is it what we came to see?
Yes. You can't even see that history.
In the last 70 years, France continued to be the leading country in terms of tourist arrival. I just pray we have the good leaders.
Yeah, it's the good leaders. That's what John is true.
And the problem we have in that area, and if you agree with me, is that we have never been putting the wrong
peg
in the wrong.
Let's be honest. Even with this minister that came in, I was a bit skeptical. Because when we made the announcer, first thing I went to LinkedIn to check her was, I saw a bank. I said, I checked to, I sent it to her. I said, how would someone like her be able to do much? You know, people are like, let's give her a benefit of doubt. No problem. She's coming in with technology, ideas.
Yeah.
She has revamped the banking industry. Let's see what she can do. But like you said, she came in and she didn't really have that support that she was looking for. She got some support, but it wasn't holistic.
The support, if you're not going to talk about the percentage, let's say the minister was having like about 30% support and 70%, I guess. So how is she going to survive? Her name must be Sincere, Nene. For over a year that the woman has been, was appointed as the Minister of Tourism, there was no official account, no office,
no funding.
Then how do we even expect such person to perform?
Yeah, I heard that for tourism was the budget for tourism was the least of the least. And somebody that doesn't know the industry.
In the industry.
What are they?
And at the same time, the woman is not a politician, so she didn't know how to play the game.
Yeah.
So I think that's another factor.
We're always putting square holes in round pegs, round pegs in square holes.
That's the issue.
And that's a big problem. Because I was like, of everybody in this industry, because like, I know we have a lot of top people, including you, why did they pick from our pool?
Let me just say that we just have to be sincere with ourselves.
Yes, please, sir.
You know, in Nigeria, they are not working with being a professional. It's all about who is who. And if you're talking about who is who, there must be some political godfather.
Mm.
That is what is giving this position to have. And in as much as you are not a politician and you don't have a political godfather, it will be difficult
for you
to be appointed at the actual place where you know you can. Except, take for instance, and I think you should agree with me. There is a man well known in Nigeria. We call him Ambassador Ikechi Yoko.
Yeah.
He's my boss. He's a travel journalist.
He's
a publisher. But now, do you know that the man has been doing a lot of things for Nigeria? No, jokes apart, I reference him a lot. Because Ambassador Ikechi is someone in this country that continues to be placing Nigeria on global tourism map. How? He introduced an event about 20 years ago. Akwaba African Travel Market. Do you know what I used to call Akwaba Travel Market?
What?
WTM London version. That is the truth.
Well, that's the truth.
No, that's the truth.
That's the truth.
I guess, probably by tonight, we should be on his way also to London.
Yeah.
I know, all the time he has been attending WTM, what has always been running in his mind is like, oh, I think we should have something like this in Nigeria. At times, like the usual tourism crisis, Nene, some people will be looking at, oh, Ambassador Ikechi, hey, is this his business now? Let me now take you back to memory land. I agree that Mr. Ikechi is the organizer of African Travel Market and probably that it is business. But do you realize that this is the only event in Nigeria in the last 20 years that keeps bringing in foreigners? I remember about 7 years ago, there was this issue about 400 delegates are planning to attend Akwaba. I'm serious. 400 foreign delegates. But then there was issue with Nigerian visa.
Oh.
Do you know that? We said, okay, Ikechi, this Akwaba must survive. This foreign delegates will need help. What are we going to do? And you know, it is not easy for me to just say, oh, I want to go and see the Minister of Foreign Affairs. Oh, I want to go and see the Director General of Immigration. No, but we said we are journalists and we have the pen.
That's right.
We are not going to write against them, but we are going to educate. We are going to enlighten. We are going to educate them about the significance of these foreign delegates
coming into
Nigeria. And lo and behold, they read through them and they called Ambassador Ikechi. Don't worry, all those delegates, we are going to give them visa on arrival. Let me now even tell you another thing this our former minister did, Lola Adejon. During this 28th, the last edition of Akwaba that we had in September, do you know that there was visa issue? We have a lot of delegates that are coming from Kenya precisely to attend this edition. In visa, it's just about reciprocate.
Yes.
Now, if I'm going to Kenya now, all what you need is get your ticket. Pay it for your ETA, that is the e-visa for your to guarantee your arrival, sort of. It's like e-visa, and it costs just $50. If you pay $50 now, Within 24 hours, you get your ETA. Mm-hmm. That means you are good to go.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if Kenya can give Nigeria the opportunity of paying $50 for the ETA and have access to their country, then
we should do the same.
That should be the same thing that should be applicable to Kenya coming to Nigeria. Along the line, this Kenya now started complaining that, could you believe that we want to attend Akwaba in Nigeria? But when we check through the cost of the visa, we are going to pay about $200 something. Mm. Then again, on arrival, they are going to pay another $175 for capturing, I think something like that. Imagine someone coming from Kenya to Nigeria, he will stay in our hotel,
yes.
He will buy souvenir here, he will eat our food, he will network, bring people to Nigeria, and at the same time, be taking people to Kenya. Who is going to be at the receiving end? Are we not the one?
Yeah, we're the one.
But along the line, they were trying to say, no. There's a lot of money I could collect there. We did the same thing. Ambassador Ikechi. Akwaba 20-year edition also mugs succeed.
So to wrap this up, sir, what advice would you give to these three categories of people? The young ones coming into the industry, because one of the reasons I started this podcast, so that people can learn things I did not know before I started, to prepare them for the industry. So what advice you have for the young ones coming? What advice you have for those of us already there? And what advice you have for our veterans?
Good question. Let me start from the youth, the one that I just come. The first thing you should understand is that for coming into the tourism industry, what should be driving them should be passion. They should not have the thinking that, once I venture into the tourism sector, everything is going to be rosy. No, they should prepare that it will take
time,
but it is surely.
Why does it take time, sir? Please, can you explain to them why?
I think one of the main reasons why it's going to take time is that, like we said, we always find it very difficult to see someone to pamper us. And in a situation where you didn't see someone to lift you up, you are the one struggling to survive, it will take time.
Yeah.
But in a situation where you have someone, you want to start up someone just, three people are beside you. So that's the main reason. But since there is nobody to lift them up, they should take time. But they should surely be positive that they will surely get there. Number two, those that have been there presently, they must have encountered the good, the bad, and the ugly. So if they think about the bad and the ugly, then the next thing that will come into their brain is to withdraw. They should keep on. It's just a matter of time. And now to the veterans, just are the elderly ones. They have a prominent role to play. They have to be good ambassadors, and at the same time, to keep on encouraging the upcoming ones. They are always far away from us. It's not supposed to be.
That's true. That's very true. Everybody has set that part. They acknowledge all the work that the veterans have done and thank them, because without them, most of us would not actually found this part. But this, if you see that my women events, anytime I do it, I always make sure that they are younger ones, my mates,
and the older ones,
because we can't walk in silence. We younger ones need the expertise of the older ones and directions. And the other ones, younger ones, to need us to be there, because there are things that happen in the industry that they will not know because they really don't know.
Yeah.
They are also working what they know.
Yeah.
So they still need us. So that gap is really too much. Like this meeting we just had, I could count how many youths were there. And that's very wrong. We can't be doing something that's going to help the industry move forward.
And the youths are not there
because they're the ones that will actually help you to push this forward. So thank you so much for that. Thank you for acknowledging that. As we say in Yoruba. All right, guys, thank you so much for watching and see you in the next edition.
And with that, we conclude our journey across Nigeria and Africa on See the World with Ajala Nene. We hope you enjoyed exploring this journey with us and that you feel inspired to discover its unique beauty for yourself. Thank you for listening. For your feedback and comment, feel free to hit us up across our socials at See the World with Ajala Nene, and you can find me personally at Ajala Nene on Instagram. Until next time, stay curious and keep exploring. Your journey and your adventure awaits you.